Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry. And this was given to Joseph Hitchcock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with their heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'm sharing a message on the gospel of grace. Paul said in the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 24, "But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul was ready to give his own life to give people a chance to hear the gospel. The gospel meant something to Paul. It changed him and others. Every so often the church goes through a revival. Jesus described the kingdom of God like this in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. This is Matthew's gospel, chapter 13 and verse 33. "Another parable spoke he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." The grace of God has been poured out again and again in many different generations. Man has been given time to repent and learn and use the grace of God. Anything good he has allowed comes from God, but many do not use this grace as it was intended. Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 13, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." A period of refreshing has always followed a period of repentance in history. Peter says in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, I'm reading. This is Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 19. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Verse 20, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before was preached unto you." As people repent, the refreshing continues, and afterwards the Lord will come. When each generation stops walking in the light, with time there is a leavening of the truth. The devil can only get access through the carnal nature. You cannot rely on what others say and do or not do. We are responsible for our own salvation. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Everyone should be in a high state of personal revival so that lessons learned in the body of Christ are passed on to the next generation. If you're not pressing forward in your calling, then you're going backwards. The grace came that we could get to know God personally. We read in John chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17. Starting in verse 1, "And these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is not just living forever. It is knowing God. Through a personal relationship with God, you can finish your race and enjoy everything that God planned for you personally. Paul saw a leavening of the church in the first century and wrote to Timothy. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, I'm reading. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Paul realized that after a while, even those in the church would swallow lies. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, this is Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 24 and reading all the way to verse 30. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Verse 25, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Verse 26, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Verse 27, so the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had they having tares? Verse 28, and he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then we go and gather them up? Verse 29, but he said, nay, least while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. In this parable of Jesus, the ground represents the condition of the hearts of men and women in the kingdom. Because hearts were open, they received the good seed of grace and mercy, but then later were also open to the devil. The wrong seed is planted because those living in the kingdom stop walking in the light, stop repenting, and use their own minds instead. The devil cannot plant his seed unless he is invited. Sin and the office of the devil are invited because everyone can say no. David wrote in Psalms chapter 40, verses 4 to 8, I'm reading. This is in the Psalms, chapter 40, starting in verse 4. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust, and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Verse 6. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Mine eyes and ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offering hast thou not required. Verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book as is written of me. Verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. The grace of God is available for repentance for those who want to live in the light now and do the will of God. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 17. For God has not sent his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19. And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Those living in the light will not be judged, because they are following the dictates of the Spirit and not the dictates of the flesh. Living in the light means you are submitted to the Holy Spirit and using the witness of the Spirit. The mind cannot help you to be faithful. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 1. This is Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The devil does not want you to live controlled by the Spirit, as you'll also destroy his works based on lies. Through following the dictates of the flesh, the devil offers you another way of being righteous. There is no reason to live in the darkness and use your mind. The kingdom of God is here now to help you repent and live a life controlled by the Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verses 39 to 41. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 39. And Jesus said, for the judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, but they which see might be made blind. Verse 40. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, are we blind also? Verse 41. And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. Sin is anything contrary to the perfect will of God in thought, purpose, and action. You will never stop sinning using your own mind. But with the grace and truth, you can purify your hearts and change. Jesus came to set us free from our opinions and traditions. You do this by continuing in the word that brings conviction, and not by adjusting the truth to fit your own doctrine. It's only the truth that sets us free. We read in John chapter 8, verses 31 to 34. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8, starting in verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33. And they answered him, but we are Abraham's seed, and we never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that we shall be made free? Verse 34. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. The religious leaders were jealous and claimed God as their father, but they killed Jesus, even though he did no wrong. Jesus is the Messiah, and he came at the darkest time, when the city of Jerusalem was about to be leveled by the Romans in AD 70. The religious leaders did not see the signs that time was running out. Jesus predicted the complete destruction of the temple. We read in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 2. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24 and verse 2. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, that you shall not be thrown down. The gold used in the temple melted and soaked into the stones during the burning of the temple. Each stone was picked up by scavengers afterwards looking for gold and thrown down again. We also read in John chapter 8, verse 42 to 44. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8, starting in verse 42. And Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The scribes and Pharisees followed the Jewish traditions exactly to the letter. But they were blind because they were using their minds. They could not just ask God a question and get an answer by faith. They had too many opinions and traditions instead. We read in Luke chapter 22, verses 67 to 69. This is Luke's Gospel. Chapter 22 and verse 67. Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, If I tell you, you will not believe. Verse 68. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Verse 69. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. In contrast, Peter chose to follow Christ. He was not religious, he was a fisherman, and he spoke the truth. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 13 to 18. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14. And they said, Some say, Thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Verse 15. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18. And I say unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The devil has no answer for those who get truth and accept it from God without an opinion. Grace was increasing in Peter's life, as he had ears to hear. Paul was also changed from a sinner into a saint. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. If you're always hearing the letter of the law, then you are under the law, Paul explained in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 to 24. I'm reading Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You have to choose. Do you want to be under law or under grace? Under the grace, the Lord gets you ready. Become like a little child, or you'll end up like a Pharisee. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. I'm reading Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he's a debtor to the whole law. Verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For this reason, do not keep the Sabbath or any Jewish traditions. Instead, rely on hearing God's voice minute by minute and do whatever he tells you to do. And by faith, you will abide in the presence of God. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verses 10 to 12, I'm reading. This is Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Trying to keep the law is not faith. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 44, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, starting in verse 38. And you have heard that it had been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Verse 39. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Verse 40. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Verse 42. Give to him that asketh, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Verse 43, and ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Verse 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you. Jesus is the only one who really understands how to apply his word. He said, turn the other cheek, but many react on the inside, trying to hide their true feelings. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 18 to 21, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou wilt heap coals of fire on his head. Verse 21. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If someone does something that causes bad fruit to manifest, you can look at this positively. Now through grace, you'll be given all the help you need if you want to change. Confess your sin. Grace and truth have been given so that you have time to get to the root of your sin. James says in James chapter 1, I'm reading verses 1 to 4. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The word trying in Strong's is number 1383. It's a presumed derivative of another word, means a testing by implication, a trial or proving something trustworthy. Your faith needs to be correctly established in the word of truth. If you have been defending an opinion or religious tradition, your faith will be unknowingly based on lies instead. The pressure will reveal the fact that your faith is not pure, so you can repent. The same word trying is used also by Peter. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Maintain a good attitude during these fiery trials, and you will get a better understanding of grace and truth. You can also ask for extra wisdom when you're facing a trial. James said in James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like the wave of sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Do not be afraid to set up a sin list and keep a record of all those times you react in the flesh. Use a notebook as a means of gathering evidence you need to properly diagnose the condition of your heart and soul and get to the root of sin. This is what grace was given for. For more information about setting up a notebook, please refer to the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. God has made a way through a simple life of faith and trust, leading to intimacy with God. However, many choose to use their minds instead and not submit themselves to the Holy Spirit. We read in John chapter 1, verses 12 to 14. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm starting in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word name in Strong's is from another word. It means name, literally or figuratively, but also it means authority or character. The good news is that Jesus Christ is willing to turn every sinner into a saint and have eternal glory and become heirs of the kingdom. This is only possible by making him Lord. He will decide everything from now on, even what needs to be changed and when. He is your righteousness, not by following another set of man-made rules, but by following him. You cannot have this righteousness without living in the light. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. This is 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. According to John 1:12 in the Amplified Bible, this invitation is open to anyone who trusts in, relies on, and adheres to the authority of Jesus in their own lives. Jesus has been given authority to help sinners. We read in John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. John chapter 1, I'm reading verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received grace for grace. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The word grace here in Strong's is number 5485. It's from another word that means gracious of manner or act. Means something acceptable, something that benefits, favor, gift, something gracious, something pleasant. Grace is the unmerited favor of God, but it will not benefit you if you do not obey the truth and use it for repentance. Paul gave his testimony. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. The gospel of grace is such a good offer, but we have to repent when convicted by the Spirit. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and starting in verse 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Under grace, however, the standard has been raised. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 27 and 28. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, starting in verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old, that thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 28, but I say unto you, that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. God sees what's in your heart, not just what you say. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, this is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 11, On God Sees Things in Fullness, on page 162 and 163, Joseph writes, how can God be just and fair in convicting you about something you have not actually done? When you purpose in your heart to sin, God begins convicting you at that stage. You lose your peace and joy and are not able to enjoy being in God's presence. Why? Because God looks at the fullness of your thoughts. He knows what will happen if you move forward with the sin. So he convicts you at the thought stage. He judges your thoughts based on his ability to see the end from the beginning. This is an extremely important principle, and you may need to understand why God convicts you about your thoughts, even if you have not acted on them. The plan from the beginning was to have a righteousness by the Spirit. The law was only written to alert us to sin and repent. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 4, then the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now the standard is doing the will of God in thought, purpose, and action by submitting to the Holy Spirit completely. Every time you repent and get the victory over sin, you are using the grace for the reason it was given. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, I'm reading verses 28 to 32. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, starting in verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work this day in my vineyard. Verse 29. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. Verse 30. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Verse 31. Which of these two did the will of his father? And they said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Verse 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him. None of those Jewish leaders rushed to save John the Baptist when he was put in prison. The Jewish leaders were jealous of Jesus too. We read in Mark chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, starting in verse 16. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that thou eats and drinks with the publicans and sinners? Verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. John the Baptist came preaching repentance, but the Jewish leaders ignored this cry in the wilderness because they were comfortable with their own outward form of righteousness instead. When they came for water baptism, they were told the fruits of true repentance were missing. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. Verse 9. And think not to say within ourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Verse 10. Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I've met some people in the world who are more patient and kinder than those who claim to have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, especially professional carers and hospital staff. They have a calling from God to serve and a gift of patience to enable them to do the work they do so well. God can actively be involved in anyone's life from the moment they are born on this earth, working through them by grace unknowingly. But no one will be saved by doing works. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 22. I'm reading. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. You depart from me, ye that work iniquity. God will not be satisfied with great works done in his name. Jesus said in Luke 17 and verse 10. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 10. So likewise, ye, when you have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. If you're born again, you should only be doing what you are being told to do in the kingdom of God, because you want to show him that you love him. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Jesus is the potter, and if we are the clay, you become a product of his workmanship by abiding in Christ. He can use you for good works that he planned through you and become like Christ. To do anything else is sin. We see an example of the gospel of grace. We read in John chapter 8, starting in verse 3, and I'm reading all the way to verse 12. This is John's gospel, chapter 8, starting in verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, verse 4, and they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. But what say you? Verse 6, and they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. Verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Verse 8. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Verse 9. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went away one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Verse 10. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those that are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Verse 11. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. By the letter of the law, this woman was found guilty. Jesus is the judge, but his reason for coming was that all would be saved through him, even this woman caught in adultery. Jesus also taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 5. I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. Verse 2. For with the judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with the whatever measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Verse 3. And why beholdest thou small mote that is in your brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your own eye? Verse 4. How wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thy own eye, and behold a beam that is in your own eye? Verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. If you judge, then you'll also be judged with the same judgment. If this woman, caught in adultery, was judged according to the law through the scribes and Pharisees, then the Pharisees would also be judged as well. God never designed you to be the judge, but to let the Lord do everything through you by the Spirit. Everything in God's kingdom is spiritual and cannot be appreciated with the natural mind. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 25. This is Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The written word has to be applied by the Spirit, because Jesus wrote the law and he is the judge. Jesus let this woman caught in adultery go, but he told her to stop sinning. If Jesus told this woman to stop sinning, then by grace it is possible. Jesus was not trying this woman to a level beyond that which was possible by grace. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 9, 26 and 27. This is Hebrews chapter 9. Starting in verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 27. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that comes the judgment. You don't want to face the judgment? Then get in Christ and get the help you need to repent. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The grace of God was given so that everyone could do the will of God and enter the kingdom of heaven before time runs out. The help we need is in the kingdom. Also, this is a place where the devil cannot go. If you repent at the root issue, you will not sin again, so that you'll be ready when he appears. We read in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. Reading the book of Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Verse 19. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Verse 20. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. In the book The Kingdom of God Now, in chapter 24, on page 231, Joseph Hedgecott writes, keep in mind that God knows the thoughts and intents of men. God sees in fullness, and he judges us as guilty and convicts us immediately before we have even carried out the actual sin. Those who purpose in their hearts to rebel or create problems will not be given the chance to manifest. I believe God will move swiftly through his angels and bring judgment on them before they get a chance to actually commit a sinful act. This is how it will be in the millennial kingdom. Sin is still the problem. This is what brings all the misery and pain in life. When Christ rules for 1,000 years, all sinning will stop. This is what will bring peace on the earth. But the good news is that the kingdom of God is here now by the Spirit. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. This is Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 30. And the times of its ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. verse 31, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he that hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The judgment will be left to the end, to give everyone more time to repent. No one will be declared righteous based on making excuses or claiming any exemptions. Christ was tempted like us, and he trusted the Lord in the hour of temptation and overcame. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. For the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Are you religious, obeying some kind of rules instead of listening to his voice? Christianity is not just another religion. We serve a living God, and you can get to know him now. Look at the effort that Enoch made to know God. If you want to please God by faith, our faith is based on diligently seeking his perfect will for our lives. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. This is Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was not found because God had translated him. But before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch did not have access to all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, but he did not give up. Each time, I believed, he brushed himself off and had another go. He is an example to us all. Enoch relied on God's mercy and loving kindness and believed that if he kept knocking and seeking, the door be opened, and it was. He took a long time, but he did not give up. We read in Genesis chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. And reading Genesis chapter 5, starting in verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The Amplified Bible in John 1:16 says, for out of his fullness, abundance, we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessings upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. We now have access to all those spiritual blessings in Christ now. Paul said it like this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. This is Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God writes his plans on the hearts of those that love him and love to please God by doing the will of God. Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. If you choose to obey the gospel of grace, then it's simple. You get to work on the one sin that God convicts you of by the Holy Spirit. This is one sin at a time, not 100 all at once. As long as you do this and repent, God does not impute it to you as sin. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36 to 39. This is Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, for if any man draw back, my soul shall not have pleasure in him. Verse 39. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. If you procrastinate or go back to the law, then you may end up with a longer list of sins. Everything God commands you to work on is possible with His grace when Jesus is Lord. If you turn back on the life of faith, you have listened to a wrong voice. We read in Romans chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. This is Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Even as David has also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness without works. Verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. In the book Light, revised edition in chapter 23 on how to develop the love of God in abundance, Joseph Edgecott writes on pages 172 and 173, God looks at your motive and your thoughts before anyone else can see that you have done anything wrong. He convicts you when the thought first enters your mind because He loves you. God deals with you at the thought seed stage so you can repent before your sinful desire produces a full-grown tree of disobedience. On the other hand, this principle also works to your benefit when you repent and decide to love God with all your heart. You may not be able to love God with your whole heart right now, but He has authorized the way for it to be done. When you accept God's standard in your heart and start pressing towards that mark, things will start happening. Jesus knows every reason why you can't hit the mark now. If you seek Him for those reasons and do what He says is necessary to remove them, He looks at the fullness of your action. I encourage you to go to God with an open heart and quit making excuses for your inability to do what He is commanding you to do. Seek the Lord and press towards the mark of obedience. Begin to acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and God will show you the reasons why you can't love Him and others as you should. Sin is anything contrary to the perfect will of God for your life in thought, purpose, and action. If you are following the dictates of the Spirit, you are now fulfilling the law as well by faith. If you repent of whatever God shows you, then your faith is also not dead. You will be delivered by obeying the truth and be changed. James said in James chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. I'm reading James chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Of His own, He begat us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of His creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. If you are getting angry when facing a trial, then your carnal nature has been resurrected or not crucified to start with. Our righteousness is by faith. And since the wrath of man does not lead to righteousness, reacting and getting angry is proof that we are no longer in faith. Repent and slow down. John said in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." If you have a problem with anger, then the source is a desire or lust that you are trying to fulfill based on a lie that you accepted. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. "There is no temptation taking you but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted beyond that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." If you believe God loves you, then you know he will not try you beyond what you're able to endure. God knows what happened and how to fix it. You will go to God, accept his correction if you believe in the grace he provides. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 5 to 11, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." Verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." Verse 7. "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks around, seeking whom he may devour." Verse 9. "Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Verse 10. "But the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Verse 11. "To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." God gives grace to the humble. This is Peter's advice for young men in the ministry, because of the temptation to just run before you can walk and seek vain glory instead. We read Peter's story in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 40. This is Luke chapter 22. I'm reading verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." Verse 32. "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith will not fail. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Verse 33. "And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." Verse 34. "And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou hast three times, saying, I know you not." Verse 35. "And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, nothing. Verse 36. "Then said he unto them, but now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." Verse 37. "For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." Verse 38. "And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said to them, it's enough." Verse 39. "And he came out and went as he was to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him." Verse 40. "And when he was at that place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation." Peter said he would follow Jesus all the way to the cross. Jesus, however, warned all the disciples to pray. We read what happened in Luke 22, verses 54, and I'm reading all the way to verse 63. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, starting in verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. Verse 56. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. Verse 57. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Verse 58. And after a little while another man saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I'm not. Verse 59. And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. Verse 60. And Peter said, man, I know not where thou sayest. And immediately while he spoke, the cock crew. Verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and how he had said unto him, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me three times. Verse 62. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Verse 63. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. Peter had a personal revelation that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Peter said that he was even given up everything to follow Christ. However, he fell into temptation, trying to be faithful to follow Jesus in a way that was not necessary. The devil had an opportunity to sift Peter as wheat. Jesus had to intervene because he was not something Peter was ready for, and he ended up denying the Lord three times. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 13 to 17, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Peter was saying that he was ready to die for Christ in front of all the other disciples. This was also provoking them. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. This is Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. For you to walk in the Spirit, you have to be prepared to completely forget your own interests and disown yourself and put the kingdom first. Jesus taught us how to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, I'm reading. This is Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen. The kingdom is here now, but you need to pray that the kingdom comes on this earth. Then others will see it in you. Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 17 and verse 21, This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 21. Neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Your focus is on forgiving others, not having any resentment towards anyone else. You also pray for God to direct you away from anything that might be a trap based on vainglory, taking over the Lordship and discrediting the name of Christ. Many are praying the devil away, but Jesus told us to pray for deliverance that will make a fool out of the devil instead. You cannot be delivered out of something until you first get in it. You have to be prepared by God and overcome with the power of the Holy Spirit and by being led by the Spirit. The devil is not the problem. We read in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Verse 2. When he was fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. Verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Verse 4. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Verse 5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. Verse 6. And said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. Verse 7. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8. Again the devil took him into an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. Verse 9. And said unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Verse 11. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus even let the devil move him up around and take him up a high mountain. Jesus did see the vainglory of the devil. However, the devil could find no place in Christ because Jesus denied himself completely. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 24, And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The devil made some offers, but each time Christ was tempted by the devil, he answered in the way that the Father wanted. He was not just quoting the word, but the right verse for that situation by the Spirit. God has also called you to overcome temptation in the same way. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 12, Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The church of Ephesus was also trying to be faithful to doctrine and sound teaching. But this was vain without maintaining Jesus as their first love. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 to 7, I'm reading. This is Revelation chapter 2 and starting in verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. Verse 3. And thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except you repent. Verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Verse 7. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This church could see where others were wrong, but they could not see that they had lost their first love. They were in danger of losing their crown. If you have lost your first love, you can develop your love relationship again with God through seeking God for more commands. For more information about developing your love relationship through His commands, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. The Church of Ephesus needed to overcome by faith in the rightly divided word, not by quoting the written word. Developing strong opinions and feelings prevented them from hearing the right answer and being overcomers. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 8 to 13. I'm reading Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them come to you and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man can take thy crown. Verse 12. Him that overcomes, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Verse 13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. You win the crown of life now by overcoming the trials that you are facing, by doing the right thing. The trials and temptation that you overcome are the living proof of the gospel of the grace of God. James says in James chapter 1, verses 21 to 25, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholds himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. By grace, you can now pray and get an answer from God without any preconceived ideas, man-made doctrines and opinions. You look into the perfect law of liberty with no opinion and ask God. You believe he's Lord and he can do whatever he wants. You have to do this with meekness, and then you will get the word of truth. But if you allow your own opinions and feelings of others to get in the way, you will not hear the right voice. You can then ask God more questions if something you hear appears to be contrary to what you already think or know. But you should be able to hear God and speak the truth. James says in James chapter 1 verse 26, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. The mind cannot control the tongue, but he can control the tongue by the Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples in Mark 13, verses 10 and 11, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. Verse 13, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Those disciples following Jesus were told not to think or plan what to say beforehand, and just speak the words they heard through the Holy Spirit. This is only possible if you deny yourself daily and take up your cross. James says in James chapter 3, verses 6, I'm reading all the way to verse 13. This is James chapter 3, starting in verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is itself set on fire of hell. Verse 7. For every kind of beast, or of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and have been tamed of mankind. Verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, and full of deadly poison. Verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the likeness of God. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Verse 11. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield still water and fresh. Verse 13. Who is the wise man who endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Through the Holy Spirit, you can speak the right words by the grace of God. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Using the gift of eternal life, you will hear and know what to say and how to say it. You may not face a Pontius Pilate, but you may have some other situations to face instead, without getting in the flesh. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 to 4, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Verse 4. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The grace was given so that you can overcome and grow spiritually. Get back in his presence and ask God to show you the temptation of the flesh that caused you to sin and come out. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. This is Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who are by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. If you keep coming in and out of God's presence, then this is unskillful. But make a note and record even how much time you spend in the presence of God. And if you're repenting, then all things will be passing away. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you're getting angry or you say things you later regret, Jesus is not Lord of those areas. Use the grace of God for repentance and change. Are you really convinced that sin is the problem? Being Lord of your own life is causing sin and shame. You'll have to completely put your trust in Him and not do anything without hearing from Him. This is the life of faith. Many have believed a lie that repeating some words in a prayer or just accepting Jesus as their Savior is enough. He died for you, but you will not rule with Christ without true righteousness and that old nature in the grave. John spoke of corruption in the church when he said this in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteousness, even as he's righteous. You cannot be found in him if sin is getting you out. If the same sin is always getting you out all the time, then you're not overcoming. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14, I'm reading. This is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which dwells righteousness. Verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. We have access to the Holy Spirit, so now we can turn our weaknesses into strengths. We have to rely on the Spirit of truth by faith. Step out and just keep obeying. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 10. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Verse 9. For we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. And this is also, we wish, even your perfection. Verse 10. Therefore I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Paul's words were strong, but he could not say something more or less than the truth. No one can add or take away from the truth. Those using the witness of the Spirit could also confirm everything was the truth because the Holy Spirit will not bear witness to a lie. Amazing Grace is a Christian hymn published in 1779 with words written in 1772 by the English poet, an Anglican clergyman, John Newton. He lived from 1725 to 1807. Newton wrote the words from personal experience. He said, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed." Great preachers that God used in the past to bring genuine revival were anointed. They did not scare people. They were able to bring the right focus to an individual and the reverential fear of God necessary for salvation and spiritual wisdom. Jesus told us not to fear man. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known." There will be one judgment at the end, and the books will be opened. No one will be cast into the eternal lake of fire before that time. So up to the last day, while we are still alive, we have a chance to repent of something. The lake of fire was designed for those who do not meet God's requirements. I believe God is doing everything possible in everyone's life to make sure that only the devil and his angels end up in the lake of fire. He will make the final judgment, but the books will be opened, and there will be a lot of detail there for those who trusted in their own righteousness. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God wants us all to come to repentance and live a life based on his promises, but it seems that many are not willing. Repentance is part of living in the light. There is grace now to change. He is not the problem. We have the gospel of grace. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Verse 2, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" That initial grace was also the means to get more grace, and the means to abide in the kingdom now and see him provide. People can easily point the finger and blame someone else, even God. However, God wants to use those who are born again to show through the trials they overcome that the kingdom of God is already here now. God has made available the Holy Spirit to the church so that we can know all things beforehand. He has even sent his prophets when time is running out because they cannot hear. Whose fault is it if man does not listen? Even the church does not believe that God is speaking all the time. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, I can recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you need to establish the right foundations of life on the narrow way, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to consistently walk by faith and grow up, then I can recommend this book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Today you heard a message about the grace of God. I hope you've seen that God's grace came for a purpose. It wasn't to be misused. And God's grace has been flowing and flowing in every generation, even now much more. And all I ask is that you use that grace to make sure that you repent of something God is showing you. There is no judgment. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, those who are led by the Spirit. And if you're finding another sin, don't give up. There's more to find. And keep going until you reach that state where you have clear intimacy with God. And then obey him out of a pure heart. Let me pray. Father in heaven, for all those who are listening to this message, I pray that they will use the grace that's been given to them, for them to enjoy and have that intimacy with you now, that Father may attain to the resurrection, that they may live lives worthy of the gospel, and that Father, when the trials and storms come, they will not backslide, and they will be faithful to the end, and people will see that your kingdom is here, that your kingdom is real, as they see your people rejoicing in all these situations, in Jesus' precious name. God bless you. Just below, you can click on and get a list of all the scriptures that have been used today. There'll be some details afterwards as well, where you can contact the ministry. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.